Today we're going to talk about our final podcast discussion. I'm Kaylee.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Casey.
I'm Michaela.
And we are going to begin this topic, we're going to begin this discussion with the great debate and like where we stood with it. So when we all did this, I was on the whole language side of it. That's how I learned how to read, and I was a late reader because I got diagnosed with dyslexia, so I didn't even read until I was in the third grade. So I feel like if I had more whole language instruction versus phonics that I started off with, I might have learned to read a little earlier. However, the longer I went through this class, I realized that phonics is equally important. It's just how you deliver the process of learning phonics. So I think overall, we all kind of agreed before when we talked about it that we really liked the idea of combining it and making the plan individualized for our students. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I just remember when we did do the debate that I was on the whole language side, and I still like that side better just because I know it's a lot more reading instead of workbook and worksheet activities for the kids. Mm-hmm. And it just gets them more involved with each other, reading stories together, and whole class readings and other activities as such.
I'm mostly in the middle. I think that they're both beneficial. Each of them work on different things, and each of them help different students. Like, when the students are first learning to read, I think phonics would be better for them because it teaches them how to decode unknown words.
Right.
But when you're working on, like, comprehension, then I think whole language is better. So I think the best approach is a combined approach because you never know which one's going to work best for each student.
Right.
Yeah, like Michaela said, both of these approaches have their pros and cons to each student, but I think that both of them are equally important and they benefit each other in having these characteristics.
Great. So I think that we spent a lot of time in this course on phonemic awareness and like learning to develop phonemic awareness in children. So why do children need to develop an understanding of phonemic awareness? How does that help them succeed in the world?
When I was filling out the final paper, when I came across this question, I actually started looking up different thoughts on, like, why do they need to? So I was researching, and I came across this quote, and it was from www.ascd.org, and it was, "When children have phonemic awareness, they understand that the sounds of spoken language fits together to make words and that those words convey meaning. They also need to understand how sounds fit together to form words, and they must be able to manipulate the curious parts of words and syllables to create new words." And I thought that really hit it. They just need to be able to understand the sounds so they can learn how to read and write and spell, and that all just goes together.
So you say that phonemic awareness is important to develop in children because it gives them a sense of independence, wouldn't you?
Yes.
That's kind of how I think all educators feel about phonics and why we should teach our kids to read overall, because it does build a sense of independence in them and even a confidence in them when they're able to decode words and do things for themselves. They become proud of themselves, and then they're like, I can do this. I can do whatever I want, you know, by myself. I don't need anybody. And I think that's really important that we do that for our future kids.
Yeah, and also teaching them good phonemic awareness also gives them efficient decoding skills, which will help them in the long run with their reading. It'll help them become better and proficient readers. And it also has shown that students who fail to develop begin having decoding issues and are behind those who are more advanced.
So they fall behind a little bit, don't they? Yeah.
So what I wrote down for this is phonemic awareness is what children will use to determine their success in reading and writing. Like we said, And before learning to read print, they need to become more aware of how the sounds and words work.
Great. So one of the questions on here says, considering the growth of the student and their development in writing, what are pros and cons of interactive writing? So I think we should start this off by saying, like, an example of what interactive writing is. And in class, we learned that it was basically where the teacher is at the front of the class. The students are all kind of either in their desks or grouped together on the floor. And it was a video that we watched, and they were writing a letter. So it was very guided instruction, but there's several ways that you can go about it. So basically the teacher's up there kind of saying, dear Mrs. or whoever, and then helping them remember their points that they wanted to discuss with that person. And it's just, it teaches them how to write, how the rules of it goes. So what do you guys think about that? Do you have any pros for interactive writing?
Yeah, interactive writing also helps give the students feedback and an opportunity to interact with the other students and see what it's like to be good writers through their teacher, showing them how words are and, I forgot what I was about to say, but yeah.
How they relate.
Yeah, how they relate.
Yeah.
An example that I wrote down is sharing the pen. So the purpose of this is to teach children how to write well by allowing them to directly copy the demonstration of the teacher.
I think that, like Cameron said, like, I think it's really important that they get that immediate feedback and they can fix their errors right away. So that if a student, when they make an error, like on a worksheet, they would continue to make that error throughout the whole worksheet, and they wouldn't realize that it was wrong until they got that worksheet back. But with this kind of interaction, they can know right away, and then they can just fix it, and then they can start practicing it the right way. And also, I think that just modeling itself, where the teacher can model for the students, I think that is one of the most effective strategies for students to learn, because there's no confusion. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, and then they can go up and practice it while the teacher is making sure that they actually know what they're doing.
Right. That's a perfect explanation of that. So we will move on to, in class we also learned a lot about orthographic tools in the classroom, and so a few examples of those would be word sorts and spelling inventories, stuff like that. So what are some of the advantages of monitoring student orthographic development? How would we classify that in level of importance? I would say that it would be extremely important, especially when it comes to like word sorts and inventories, being able to go back on different days where you noticed that they missed, you know, this word in the inventory, and then a few weeks later you see their improvement, or even see if they stayed the same or whatever. It shows how you need to proceed in their learning. So that's extremely important. Another important part of even word sorts is the way that students interact with each other when they get the word sorts, whether it's whole group or whatever. It's just super important that you let them see the progress that they've made and then how you move forward with the information that you're given from their progress. So what do you guys think about it?
Yeah, spelling inventories are really important, just so, for instance, just so you can see where your student's currently at and where they need to be. A good way to help them with the stuff they're struggling with, I like the sound and pattern sorts, personally, just because you give them something to relate to off that word, and you can also mix and match words that way, so they can make other words that may be compound words as such, mm-hmm. and other variations of that activity.
I think that's a really good point.
For the word sorting, I think that the advantages of monitoring this development is because the word sorts help you form generalizations that the students can apply to new words that they encounter. So like the words that they get in the word sort, how they sort the words shows how they would see new words that they've never saw before. That would be how they know how to relate those words to the words that they already know. So I think this is really important, and you have to make sure that they're improving so that you can see that they are able to decode unknown words by relating them to previous words. And then for spelling inventories, I think that these are really important because, like, in my matching books class and phonics, we've learned a lot about spelling inventories, and it helps you see exactly where the child's at. So they do the spelling inventory, and then you can see exactly what parts of each word the child is struggling with. So then you can specifically work with that part of the word, so then they can understand it. So if they're doing bad with digraphs, you can focus on that and then help them improve, so then they won't struggle with that anymore.
When we went over and started doing that, I remember with my kids when I did that, is blends were a huge problem. And it was just, I mean, the ch and the blah and what was that? Like TH, yeah. CH, all that. It was unreal. So once, I remember we started going over with her, and it was a specific student of mine. Once we started going over those with her, it was like, I mean, her spelling and her pronunciation was unreal after that. So it's, I just think that letting them see their growth is just as important as monitoring it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives them a way to see where they've come from. And then just something as simple as, like, a blend is detrimental to them. You know, it means so much to them. So they really have to learn, you know, earlier on. Because if they keep pronouncing it wrong, they're going to always think that they're right. And then they'll be like, well, what do you mean? It's not, like, caulk instead of chalk. They're going to be like, what? So, yeah, it's super important. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, I wrote down that word sorts focus students' attention on critical features such as sounds, patterns, and meanings, and then spelling inventories help in seeing what students truly know about how words work. So it helps them show their growth.
Great. I'm sorry. I lost where I was. Great. Okay. So from everyone's content or grade level, you know, we're going to share a reader, writer, speller in this stage of our choice. So we actually all picked a different, not like a totally different stage, but we all picked kind of like a few different ones just so that way we could all hit across the spectrum. So I'm like an intervention specialist. I could have kids from kindergarten all the way to high school. So it really depends on me, like, you know, wherever I get sent. So we'll start off with Michaela, and then we'll work around and talk about each scenario.
Okay, so I think I'll start off with saying that I will be certified K-3. So I think that I will probably be somewhere in the letter name alphabetic stage. So when it comes to, like, the characteristics and what I will see in my students at this stage, for the reading, they're going to be transitioning from, depending on simple, predictable reading, to other things. So, like, in the emergent stage, they are leaving that pretend reading or memory reading, and they're starting to actually read, but it's more of a word by word. It's really choppy.
Mm-hmm.
For the writers at this stage, it's going to be really disfluent, like the reading was. So they're going to write words really slowly. They're going to do sound by sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
so I believe also in your part, they don't, in your reading level, they also don't identify, like, words. Like, they don't make the connections between words and, like, their meaning. So you see dog, but that they don't see, like, a dog. They see just the word dog, right?
Yeah, isn't that's
that
just
okay?
The
that's one
beginning.
Of the, that's the beginning characteristics, right? Okay.
And then for the orthographic development, it's going to be more of the letter names like they hear them. So for Jeep, they might like get it mixed up with a G.
Yes.
Like for
yeah.
Jeep.
Yes.
Like G and then Eep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a sound at this point. Like that's the only thing they're going from is what they can hear when they say the words.
Right. So that's mostly what's important to them. That's what's grabbing their attention at this point. They're still trying to figure everything out. You know, at this age, they're still even trying to think, you know, like when I was in that stage, my name is spelled really weird, but it didn't make any sense to me. So like C-A-L-E-I-G-H, everyone called me Callie. Well, it's Kaylee.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. And I think I was in fourth grade when I figured out that I before E except after C. Like,
yeah.
All the rules for it. So getting to know those beginning rules, and it's going to be confusing for a while, and I think that's why we have to, like, as future educators, be considerate and be patient with our kids, because that's a lot for them to take on all, you know, all day, every day, trying to figure out, how do I say this right? I don't want to look dumb in front of my peers. So we need to really be super patient with them at that age.
And I think, like, the beginning is where it's most important, because they're going from reading literally nothing to just starting. And if you just think about that, like, if you can just imagine, like, looking at a piece of paper and not knowing what anything says to starting to learn every single little detail, that's a lot for them.
Yeah. If you could imagine, like, learning a different language, like, having a whole paper in front of you being, in French, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm freaked out. And then, you know, eventually you learn, but it's just...
Starting off, it's going to be choppy, this flu.
Yeah.
It's going to be really rough.
I don't think we should expect too much out of our kids at that stage. Like, you know, helping them move forward is important, but also just knowing that they're really trying their hardest. They're not trying to, like, be really slow or choppy. It's just how it is at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the next stage.
I'm also doing K through 3, so
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do the letter name alphabetic stage 2. So, for readers, at the beginning, they need to acquire a vocabulary of sight words that they can both read and write. And then for writers, characteristics would be begin to write words more slowly to sound out and hear all of the sounds and words. And then for the orthographic development, they begin to use their knowledge about the names of the letters in the alphabet to spell phonetically or alphabetically. And for a sequence and spacing of the word study at this stage, they may need more time in this stage because they are practicing English letters, sounds, and how to segment sounds together.
Okay, and then the next stage?
I'm also K-3, so I chose to talk about the emergent stage. Some characteristics of readers at this stage. They're able to recognize upper and lowercase letters and their common sounds. They can also develop high-frequency words or sight words. Writers at this stage, they range, it varies. Some can be just random marks on the page, and others may have more legitimate letters that actually relate to the sound that the letter makes. as pre-phonetic, there's little direct relationship between what's on the page and the speech sound. And spellers at this stage, they also vary. There's those cats out there that can get everywhere. Don't laugh. There's those guys and girls out there that'll knock out every word, but you also have those kids that can spell the really big word because they are associated with that word more often. And there's those kids that can't spell the word cat because they haven't been associated with those words as much. But, yeah.
So, Kaylee, since you are, like, you could be thrown into any one of these stages, which one did you really, like, was there one that you were, like, drawn to, like, you hope that you'll teach students in that stage?
So I felt that... Stop. I felt that the... What? I felt that the derivational relations stage was really important because that stage starts from fourth grade till the rest of, you know, to even into 12th grade. So I have had students that were even older, and they still were having problems with, you know, their roots and, like, Greek roots and, you know, where words come from and the Latin in a lot of words. So it wasn't that they didn't know how to write or do anything like that. It was more of the understanding of those words and, you know, making sure that what they were writing in their papers made sense.
So I think the comprehension.
Yes, the comprehension of it was super important for them. So I picked that one. A huge characteristic is that they are advanced, but they do need to learn Greek and Latin, like the morphemes out of it, which are out of like thousands of words that are constructed overall. They need to understand the meaning of the orthographic layer. And another characteristic of writers at this stage, now I'm on to writers, excuse me. They have the potential to use forms and functions, structures and purpose, or different genres. Together with their expanding vocabularies, this knowledge of form and function helps to inform their voices or stance, which turns guides their words, choice, and what they write and revise. So this stage is really important because if they don't use the right words, it means something totally different. Like they could say, you know, they were talking about someone crossing a river, and then if they use like ocean, he crossed the ocean. Well, that river and ocean mean two totally different things. So that's the point of where they need to learn what they're actually talking about. And when I was in this stage, I never knew what I was talking about. I was like, I want to say ocean because it means farther. It means that I, you know, did the long trail. But if I'm telling a story about how I crossed the river, that's not what it was about. So it's just really important that they understand that. Orthographic development in this stage is errors occur at the syllable juncture and with the vowel and unaccented or unstressed syllables. Spelling errors, characteristics of this stage fall into three categories, which is polysyllabic words, suffix words, and syllable juncture conventions. So polysyllabic words often have unaccented syllables in which the vowel is reduced to the schwa sound in the second syllable opposition. Several suffixes have different spellings despite their similar pronunciations, and other errors occur in the feature known as absorbed or assimilated prefix. So in this stage is especially hard for learners and that speak different languages, so they have a really hard time with this.
Yeah.
They have a really hard time with this. A lot of my students, though, I've noticed have been in the late stage of this development, where at least my older students, they're in high school, and the phrase, like, they're trying to sound academic, but not being academic. So they're like, I crossed the Delaware and then spelled Delaware wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that's where it's just kind of getting to the nitty gritty of it, which is really the important part of it, because if they want to move forward, they have to know this stage. So, and then I believe, we have to actually go back to, what was it?
Interactive writing.
Yeah.
Yes. I skipped right over that. I guess I thought what I wanted to say was too important. So if you guys would like to continue with that.
Yeah, sure. Honestly, I think maybe, like, you were probably thinking that, like, were there so many benefits of it? Like, they outweigh the cons. Because that's what we discussed before we started this. Like, we talked about how the pros, like, they just outweigh the cons. Like, there's not really many cons to interactive writing since they're modeling to the students.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're up there and you're saying, like, dear Mrs. schwa. I wanted to tell, you know, if you're writing, schwa, if you're writing a letter to somebody and the teacher does it wrong, then the kids are going to do it wrong.
Yeah.
So that would probably be one of the only cons. Yeah. But if you're up there showing them, hey, this is how it goes, letting them put in feedback saying, so, kids, what did we want to thank Mrs. Schwa for? But did we want to thank her for the ducks or the candy she gave us? So they'd be like, the candy, of course. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it helps them problem solve as well. I'm not seeing a lot of faults with it.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I can think of is those kids that just don't pay attention during these activities.
Yeah.
But a good way to nip that in the butt is share the pen. So that way you can get all the students involved to come up and be part of the story.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
I think it depends on the level. Like, if they're younger, when you're just asking the questions, you can, like, make sure to call on every student to make sure they're, like, paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, like, when they get older, call them up. Or, you know, when they get more advanced, to just do it, like, on themselves, like, creating, like, whole sentences.
I guess one of the only cons, another con would be if you were, as a teacher, did not know where to start and we're having them come up and write on the board and they're like, I don't even know how to spell my first name. That would be kind of rough for them. Mm-hmm. So as long as you know how to do it right, which hopefully I think everybody in this class would know how, I think we were all taught right, like where to start. So just having us even being educated enough in it is really makes or breaks that project. So...
Did we miss anything?
Nope. I think that we've got it all covered. However, we do have a few more minutes left, so we can easily talk about, you know, the what? Yeah, and even talking about some of the stuff that we had in class, like some of the projects, like things that we've done, like our stage, remember, our some of our activities, so that would be good.
Yeah. Well, I know I forgot to say something about my the stage I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the readers in that emergent stage, they're memory readers, which means they just read the book from memory or read what they read from memory instead of actually understanding the meaning.
Right, right.
So just wanted to throw that in there, too.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, it's important for our listeners to know that. So I remember in my group project, or my group project, it was just me, but in my project we did, for my stage, derivational was Jeopardy. So, you know, they got to understand the roots of some of these words because it was kind of like a word sort.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a really fun way to get the kids like into it and they were interactive, but, you know, it's still, they were still learning something. Like they wanted to be the best, so they had to look up what they were trying to do. So I think that's important. So what do you guys feel about your activities, you know, how beneficial they are?
I thought mine was somewhat efficient. I did mine on ing endings and the e drop.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just going over which words that end in e you would drop, the e obviously, and add your ing. Yeah, that's really all I remember from my activity.
But that's important to know because that makes the words, like, plural.
Yeah, like the word happening.
Yeah,
no,
happen.
Wait, that's, yeah, happen. No.
Happen or happening.
I just messed that up. Disregard that.
I'm trying to think of my activity.
Like, can't think of where it ends with E right now.
Hope.
Hope, yeah.
Hoping.
Mine was ever within word pattern stage, and I did a word sort of... long A or short A sounds.
Ayo.
Yeah.
And then I think I mine was definitely the letter the letter name alphabetic stage, and I did the manipulating words to like bag, change it to bad, and then like we just played around with that.
Right.
But I think overall, like this strat, like all the different activities that we did, really, they were like really beneficial, and I could see how it would help the students in each of the stages.
Absolutely. For sure. So we about wrapped up this talk. So everybody again is going to say who they are and then we are going to sign off. So
I'm Michaela.
I'm Casey.
Cameron.
And I'm Kaylee. And we really enjoyed having this talk with you today. Hope to hear and see from you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. And
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy God.